Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and here's a new wrinkle on Syria's use of chemical weapons, crossing President Obama's red line. Israel says, as reported in the New York Times today, that it is not seeking U.S. intervention in Syria, and that Obama's credibility with respect to Iran is not at stake. You wouldn't know it by the war drums beating on the Sunday talk shows.
And the problem is, you know, the president has laid down the line. He, you know, it can't be a dotted line. It can't be anything other than a red line. And more than just Syria, Iran is paying attention to this. North Korea is paying attention to this.
If we keep this hands-off approach to Syria, this indecisive action towards Syria, kind of not knowing what we're going to do next, we're going to have a war with Iran because Iran's going to take our inaction in Syria as meaning we're not serious about their nuclear weapons program.
Lindsey Graham there on where he was. He was on Face the Nation, CBS Face the Nation. Want to give these shows credit when we use their clips. And Mike Rogers, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Republican from Michigan, on ABC this week. So what's a president who wants to get us untangled from complicated ground wars, not into more of them, to do? Fred Kaplan, who writes the War Stories column for Slate, joins us now with his view that the president has to do something in response to Syria's use of chemical weapons, but that he shouldn't be rushed into it. Hi, Fred. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, thanks.
This New York Times article on Israel this morning, how much does this change the story? How much does this respond to the Lindsey Grahams and the Mike Rogers? It's the Minister of International Relations speaking yesterday in New York, saying Israel is not pressuring the U.S. to respond, and saying, contrary to the clips we heard, that he sees no connection between military action in Syria and the credibility of the U.S. on stopping Iran from getting nuclear weapons. And I guess that's because they are such different situations. Syria is this murky civil war, and Iran is seen by almost everybody as an existential threat to the region and the world.
Well, it's very interesting. What might be going on, there are a few things going on here. One, the Israelis might genuinely be trying to cut Obama some slack. In other words, okay, look, everybody's using the Israel-Iran thing to get you into Syria, which we understand is a mess. I mean, you know, you're talking about a country that was stuck in southern Lebanon for 28 years, right? So they understand what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
Second, Israel is not in a terrible situation right now. Every country that they see as threatening is embroiled in their own internal conflicts, you know, even some of them verging on civil war. There's not a whole lot to worry about the Israeli-Syrian border, for example, right now. It's not necessarily to their disadvantage that things remain tense right now, and it might work against them to have the United States come in playing the Israel card to heighten the level of violence in the country.
And so does it really make sense to make the words red line the be-all and end-all of American credibility? The issue is supposed to be that chemical weapons are weapons of mass destruction, like when mm-hmm. Saddam Hussein gassed 5,000 Kurds in Iraq in 1988. Here, about 30 people are estimated to be dead from sarin gas, when Syria has killed an estimated 70,000 with
right.
conventional weapons. So I guess it's some kind of strategic game Assad is playing. But if Obama has thought it was a bad idea for the U.S. to arm the rebels until now, then it's probably still a bad idea to arm the rebels after the very limited use of sarin gas, no?
Yeah, that's true. And that's why you're seeing this equivocation on the part of the administration. But, you know, first two things need to be said. One, it's not entirely clear that sarin was really used, and it's also not entirely clear that Assad or elements of his regime used it, if that's what it was. But, you know, let's say that is what it is. That is what it turns out to be. Look, we can't deny that President Obama has said on six occasions that this would cross a red line,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't you know, he didn't speak strictly metaphorically. He said, he elaborated. He said, this will have enormous consequences. This will change my calculus. We will have to hold Assad accountable. Now, this doesn't mean that, therefore, you have to send in the tanks and the planes, but it is true that if the president of the United States or of any power says we are definitely going to do something if X happens, and if X also happens to be something that is a war crime, recognized as a war crime by, you know, several international treaties, and then if we don't do something, it does do something to the credibility of any threats that you might be making to deter action in not just Iran, but in Northeast Asia, in South Asia, and in lots of places. He's sort of put himself in a bit of a box here.
I've been seeing three potential actions mentioned, mostly as the ways that he could respond if he does respond. Arm the rebels, set up a no-fly zone to stop Assad from bombing, like we did in Libya with Gaddafi, and set up a safe zone. Do you think those are the basic three?
Those kind of cover the most of it. I think, look, Obama tends to be very reluctant to get into situations that might escalate out of control. We've seen that time and time again. And by the way, we should be very thankful of this. He's also very reluctant to act on intelligence analysts' analyses that aren't entirely confident. I mean, we all know, and he knows very well, the history of the last 10 years. You might remember, you know, the mobile biological weapons labs in Iraq, and the Iraqis said, oh, no, that we're just pumping out hydrogen for weather balloons for our artillery. And everybody laughed how preposterous that was. And what did it turn out to be? They turned out to be pumping out hydrogen for weather balloons.
Right, but we already had tens of thousands of troops on the ground.
So he's a very cautious guy when it comes to this. One thing about no-fly zones, you know, people have a kind of a strange notion of this. Syria is a big country. Syria also has hundreds of state-of-the-art Russian-built air defense weapons. We're going to get planes shot down.
Right,
if
so
we
it's
go
not like
no-fly zone.
Not like Libya. And we just have less than a minute left. But I don't understand the safe zone, which is that third option. Wouldn't that involve invading and occupying part of Syria, and then who gets to go there?
Yeah, exactly. No, you know, there was a safe zone in northern Iraq for many years to protect the Kurds, but there was kind of a natural geographic border there, and it was easy to do. But yeah, there were troops in northern Iraq keeping that from happening. There is no natural safe zone in Syria right now. So Obama understands that any kind of intervention, even something that seems less, you know, kind of modest at that point, could easily escalate into something more massive, and then where are we going to be? This is a country on the verge of a civil war where it's not just a case, you know, Gaddafi.
And we have to leave it there because we are out of time, but the president said red line, red line, red line, so he has to do something, says Fred Kaplan from Slate, but he also says, don't rush him. Fred, thanks a lot.